Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Thank you. Babe, you know that I can't stay, but I don't really wanna go. Every little thing I need is out there on the road. Leave a little piece of me, something tiny you can hold. But baby, don't forget my face when I walk up to your door. I was working on the side, I would hang my head down low. I was walking through life blind, you showed me where to go. Take two steps to the right, not too fast, not too slow. I'll stay together for the night and another 5 years or so. I just want you to see you're the right girl for me, don't you know? I don't know what I would do if I found myself alone. I just want you to see you're the right girl for me, don't you know?
Fascination. If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ellie here, and we have Festival Director Yi Wang. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me today. So, you know, I want to give us our listeners a bit of background about yourself. So tell us a bit about yourself.
Myself, yeah. So I originally am from Taiwan. I came to the UK in 2014 for my studies. And after that, I've been working in arts and cultural sector with a lot of theater productions. And then in late 2019, I decided to start Queer East. And of course, 2020 was pandemic year. So, yeah. But it was also the year when the festival was sort of kick off, and then started my journey in running a film festival. And after 5 years, this year is our 5th anniversary, and the festival has been growing bigger and bigger, and then so we have a chance to actually visiting more cities this year than before.
I want to ask you, what inspired you to make Queer East? I mean, what was the main inspiration for that?
Yeah, so I think it came from a very personal and sort of selfish reason. Of course, back in 2019, that was sort of, I already been living in the UK for around 6 years. Mm. And I always feel that there's definitely a significant lot of East and Southeast Asian cinema being showcased in this country. And not to mention that Queer East and Southeast Asian cinema, it's not like we don't see East and Southeast Asian cinema, but I feel that most of the cinema we are talking, referring to, you know, are like martial arts films, sure, action, Hong Kong action cinema, or we do a lot of art house like Hou Xiaoxian, Cai Mingliang, Edward Yang. These are like very familiar names for British audience, but we didn't really get a chance to see a lot of contemporary filmmaking from East and Southeast Asia. And that's why I decided to, like, you know, if nobody going to show this, why didn't I do it by myself? And also I feel like I really want to bring these very interesting, very different perspectives of East and Southeast Asian cultures to the audience here. And that's very naive idea. Of course, I wasn't working in cinema or film festival back then, but I just had this idea and then do some Google, ask around, and then that was where I started. And of course, now the festival sort of like has its scale now. Like in London, we work with over 10 venues. In different parts of London, in the UK, we toured to 15 cities this year. So it is quite also very encouraging to see that there are actually people out there who are really interested in knowing more about these stories about East and Southeast Asian queer communities.
Yeah. And I want to ask you as well, I've got to ask, what was the first film that you've ever watched that captured your imagination and thought to yourself, oh, I want to do like a festival for these kind of films? What was that first film?
I probably couldn't remember, but I can talk about the first film we did in London. It was Funeral Parade of Roses, the film made in 1969. Of course, that was sort of a slightly well-known queer cinema for British audience. And then that was literally our very first film screening of that film back in 2019, which was the film's 50th anniversary. And that sort of like gave me the idea of these will be the films, like these rarely seen East and Southeast Asian cinema, whether they are made in recent years or they've made long, long, long time ago. People are really into knowing more about them. They want to explore what's happening back then and also what's happening right now. So you can see that from our festival program as well, that we have a lot of contemporary UK premieres or recently made queer films, but we also dig back into the archive of the queer filmmaking in East and Southeast Asia, that we had films made in 1950s, 60s, 70s, and then a lot of them, they were never being shown in this country before. And yeah, so I would say like A Funeral Parade of Roses was definitely the first film that we catch people's attention. And I also feel that film reflects to what I want to do and what I want to show to audience as well. Like, it was very imaginative, very radical, political, and that's what I think queer cinema should be. And yeah.
Interesting. I mean, thank you for sharing that with me. And I've got to ask, I mean, for the festival itself, I mean, how long did it take to put together? I mean, you say it started in 2019, and then after 2019, unfortunately, we had a pandemic, which stopped a lot of things. But eventually, we came out of it, and I'm so glad to hear that it's performing well. So congratulations on that. But how did you come up with the idea of creating a film festival? Was it quite a long process, or did it come together quite quickly?
I would say that the original idea was a very small scale cinema season, five screenings, six screens, which I saw it was manageable. And then that was my original plan. And of course, like a pandemic sort of lead us to a different direction right now. Because during the pandemic, of course, we had the time to actually slow down, and we did a lot of online screenings. We got the chance to actually speak with different partners from across the country, and to polish the idea. And then all these conversations sort of gave me the confidence as well that this is something we should make it bigger, and then we should sort of spotlight on these topics to UK-wide audience. So that's why the festival became like a bigger and bigger. And then it does take a long time to prepare. Like, for example, now while we are touring across the country, we are also preparing the festival next year. I've been watching quite a lot of films these days thinking of our program next year, talking about new partnership. So it's a long process. It's sort of like a year-round full-time job for me now, although probably like a lot of issues surrounding by film exhibition sector at the moment. So it is challenging, but I think it is also very rewarding when we managed to put on the festival and receive so many positive feedbacks. Like, cinema across the UK now have been showcasing their attention to what we are doing. So I think like we probably will be able to do more next year, which is definitely a very encouraging direction for us.
And I've got to ask, how can people get involved in the festival if they wanted to take part in, like, say, showing a film that they made, especially for Queer East? How can people get involved in that?
Yeah, so there are many ways people can actually get involved with our the project we are doing. Of course, you can always come to our screenings. That's the first one. And then most of the screening, we will have our team there. So it's always a very good opportunity to get a chance to chat to us. And we are currently open for submissions. So if you do have an East and Southeast Asian films made and want to have a chance to screen at Queer East, the submission will be open until late December, I believe. So please do submit your film to us. And we are currently preparing for an open call for guest curatorial program. So that was our new initiative of involving different curators from different backgrounds to contribute to a program at Queer East. And we did that this year. The response was extremely positive. We had a chance to work with amazing lineup of young emerging curators that have a lot of wild ideas about what the film screening should be. So if you are that kind of person, have any idea of like you want to put on a screening about East and Southeast Asian cultures and arts, yeah, that will be another opportunity that you can work with us. And then the open call will be announced soonish, I think this week, next week. So, yes.
And I've got to ask, I mean, for this festival alone, I mean, how many films has been sent to you, and how many have you got to pick for this festival alone?
Yeah, so I think we don't generally, I mean, largely, we don't generally get a lot of film submissions, like those more sort of general film festival, because we do have a very specific requirement for the films we want. So you need to be queer cinema, you need to be related to East and Southeast Asian cinema. And so roughly we have around, I would say like we usually get around 300, 400 films. And most of them are show films. And then we will have colleagues and myself, we will do a brief, like we sort of like look into all the submissions and then pick those films that we think has potential, are Queer East, that fit in our theme, and then we want to show them with audience, and then we go into another discussion, conversations, and to put on the program. So yeah, so I think compared to like those like big sale festival, we are in a slightly manageable size in terms of watching films. And yeah, and but a lot of time will require actually us to reaching out to the community, to different filmmakers in different East and Southeast Asian countries, or making connection to those queer festivals that are based in East and Southeast Asian region to discover new films. And yeah.
And I've got to ask, I mean, you are currently on tour right now with your festival. Will you be coming to Sheffield at any point?
Yes, we will. So the festival will actually be in Sheffield from this Saturday, 9th of November. This time we are doing a sort of a spread out season run through the entire November. So every week we will have one screening showroom in Sheffield. And so starting from this Saturday, we will be showing a British-made Chinese documentary about a queer activist who is currently based in London. So the film sort of following her journey of being an activist in China to campaign for LGBTQ plus education. And then she left the country due to many, many reasons. And then she started her campaign here as well, fighting for the visibility of Chinese queer communities in this country, been doing a lot of amazing campaigns. So we will be showing that documentary. And then we are also very honored to have the director, Shangshang Chen, and the protagonist, Cho Yan, who will be with us for a post-screening Q&A. So that's our first screening there. And then along the month, we will have another three film screenings from Japan, Taiwan, and Philippines that are spending over half a century of queer filmmaking in East and Southeast Asia.
And I mean, for our listeners at home who are who's interested in attending, is there a cost as well?
Yes. So the price will just be the same as where showroom usually do. And of course, they offer all sorts of kinds of discounts, especially for young people. I think they have very generous discounts for young audience. And of course, if there's anything you want to attend the screening but have any sort of kind of accessibility needs, please do just get in touch with us and then we will try our best to welcome you to the screening.
And thank you very much, Yi. And I've got a couple more questions for you because we are quickly running out of time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I'd like to ask... for anybody that wants to like follow you and do like festival film festivals, what advice would you give to our listeners?
That's a very interesting question. I think I will always suggest people to start from small things, start things you are passionate about and start things you know well. Most of the people I know who's been currently doing running festivals or running like a film collectives, they all start with like a very small scale film club, film night within their communities, within people they know. And I think that's a very great entry, sort of entry stepstone for everybody. And of course, you can always do is trying to work, volunteer with the festivals you are interested in. And for example, like in Queer East, most of my colleagues were our volunteers before, or our regular audience before. And because then we share the same passion, we share the same interests, and then it sort of make us a perfect match to work together. So try to attend the festivals you are interested in to get a chance to know the person behind the festival. And that would be great to actually get you into like working in other festivals as well and get some experience. I know like BFI, Showroom Cinema, and a lot of other cinemas in different cities, they are running young film programmers projects, which they offer free support to those people who are interested in film programming. So check out your local independent cinemas that which are doing these, and then that's a great way to actually learning a lot about film programming and also learning about putting on film events.
So, and for our listeners at home who want to find out more about Queer East, I mean, do you have social media where people can follow you on, and also do you have your very own website as well, what people can find more information on?
Yeah, sure. So we are on Twitter, not X, and then also Instagram, and the latest is Letterboxd, or Quereist, so Quereest, and our website is quereest.org.uk. And then you can find out the screenings we will be doing in the coming weeks. And if we are based in Sheffield, please do come to showroom to find out what we are showing there.
Thank you very much, He. And my final question for you is, because I'd like to give the final word to you, is what would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening right now?
I think it's like be open-minded and then be adventurous. Come to Queer Streaming will be a fun experience to actually see something that you probably never had a chance to see before. So we'll be really looking forward to see your listeners be at our screenings.
E, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Dawn? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Commuters Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. And we have director Marsha Igivia. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me today. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good.
Are you?
So give us a bit of background. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a screenwriter director. I am based in London, and I recently finished my second short film, Saint Vasili, which premiered at a wonderful festival, Holy Shorts, in Los Angeles in August. And I'm very happy to be here and to talk about it.
And I've got to ask about your influences. I mean, who influenced you to become a director? Also, if there was anybody that you could work with in the near future, who would it be and why?
Wow, that's a pretty difficult question in terms of who I would want to work in the future. But in terms of influences, I would definitely say there is a Polish director, Paweł Pawlikowski, of whom I'm a big, big fan. He's probably most known for Ida and for Cold War. I believe Ida won the Academy Award for Best Picture. And I think that he really shows an interesting insight into how to tackle historical events and how to tackle historical trauma. In a way where he both immerses his viewer into the life of the characters and you really feel for them and you really want to know what's going to happen with them. But at the same time, there's this beautiful sort of, I want to say aestheticized, but there is a formal approach to how he makes films, how he crops his images, how his cinematography works. And I think that this really inspired me to try and tackle how to combine that formal approach to empathy towards your characters. And that's what I'm really striving to do in my films.
Right. And I've got to ask you, I mean, what was the first film that you saw that influenced you to say, well, I want to become a director? What was the first film you ever saw?
Wow, that's a good question. I think that somewhere deep inside, I knew that I wanted to do film for a long time. I come from painterly background. I did painting for a long time, and then I wanted to do more narrative work. But if I have to pinpoint Maybe I was 16 years old and I watched Eyes Wide Shut. And I think that it really did something to me and like just completely like moved me and made me realize what films can do and how sometimes they can make you feel like you were just in a dream for 2 hours and yet you actually saw it all. And yeah, I think Eyes Wide Shut would be a very important sort of mark. If I had to pick one film, especially at such an early age, I think that 16 years old, Eyes Wide Shut is a pretty like, yeah, funny age to watch it at. Yeah.
And I've got to say, it's a classic film as well. I mean, you know, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, one of the greatest actors of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the idea of showing dreamlike world and the real world that seems dreamy, how moving images can create that dreamlike quality, that is something really attracted me. And I was like, wow, I really want to make people dream, but in real life, you know.
Sure. And we've got to talk a little bit about your film now, your short film. It's called Saint Vasily. And I mean, without giving too much away, tell us a bit about the plot.
So Saint Vasily is set in the USSR in 1982 in a theological academy, and it follows a young man who's a student at the theological academy, and he's about to become a Russian Orthodox priest. And when suddenly his roommate goes missing, he is approached by a Secret Service agent. And the film is really about what happens next. I hope I didn't spoil it too much. I think this is the beginning of the film, and then what happens is much more creepy.
No, I was going to say, interesting, very interesting. I mean, I don't want to, like you say, you don't want to spoil the film too much for your audience.
Yeah. So,
and I've got to ask, I mean, how did the film take to put together? Was it a long process, or did it come together quite quickly?
It was a pretty long process in terms of development. I'd say development took the longest. I'm adamant that writers, directors should write first and foremost and understand what their script is and work on scripts for a very long time. So this is what I did, really. It was like probably a year and a half of just writing 13-page script. Writing. And then the actual pre-production and production were much faster. And we worked with an incredible team of producers who were really on it. So the pre-production was like 3 months. And then we shot it. And then everything was like really snowballed. And the people who joined the project really put the project on a different level. We have an EP, Byron McNally, who is BAFTA nominated and Crystal Bear winning executive producer. We have our cinematographer, Arnaud Potier, who's an incredible cinematographer with probably like 30 years of experience under his belt, who shot the latest Harmony Korine film. And we have our editor, Halle Lefebvre, who is the lifelong collaborator of Joanna Hogg, and she edited The Souvenir and The Eternal Daughter and The Souvenir Part 2. So it was just an absolute joy to work with people. And I think that after we nailed the script and I realized that this is the exact story that I want to tell, after that, the kind of passion that I carried with this project, like, it allowed for the film to really, for the project to snowball and sort of move at a much faster pace. So yeah, in total, I'd say it's probably about two year process for a 13-minute film. So I'd say to anyone, please be patient. Good things come to those who wait. Yeah.
And I've got to ask you, I mean, as a short film director, I mean, what do you feel is the sweet spot for a short film? I mean, how long do you think it should be?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think it should definitely be around 10-ish. I mean, it also depends on the kind of stories you want to tell. I've seen films that are under 5 minutes and they're absolutely incredible. I think like the medium is the message is here is most appropriate thing to say. If you're trying to say a particular thing that's punchy, that's fast, that's maybe parable-like, I think under 5 minutes would work amazingly. But I guess I'm the kind of filmmaker who struggles to say anything in 5 minutes, as you can tell from my long answers. So I would say for someone who is that kind of filmmaker who needs to convey a story, has the beginning, middle, end, who has a dramatic arc and all of that, then I probably like 10 minutes, but never, ever over 15. I think that's a very important thing for both pragmatic reasons of festival programming, but also for dramatic reasons. You want to keep people on their in their seats that we only keep them in tension. So I'd say like 10, 11 is a good number.
And I mean, after the short film, I mean, have you got any upcoming projects that you're currently working on, or is it all secretive at the moment?
It's a little bit secretive, so I'm not going to give too much away, but I'd say that as any other screenwriter and director would know, you never work on one project at a time. You have to juggle 50 projects at the same time. So I'm co-writing a short, which is an erotic drama. I'm co-writing a feature, and I'm also in a very, very early days of development for two other features, one of which is a historical drama as well. So I'd say that St. Vasily is definitely a great, was definitely a great way for me to test how, like, what kind of visual language I want to use that now I'm going to employ or change for that historical drama that I'm writing right now.
And I've got to ask as well, I mean, if there was a passion project that you would love to work on, whether it be a single film or a franchise, what kind of film would you like to make?
Well, I'm actually writing one right now, but I know it's not going to be made anytime soon. And by soon, I mean like not even probably 5 years. It's a historical drama that is set in labor camps in the USSR. I am from Russian and Armenian descent. I grew up in Moscow. And so watching this country sort of descend into a complete barbaric totalitarian state is heartbreaking for me. And I think that it's important that there is not a single film that is sort of a known established work of art that talks about labor camps. And I would love to change that. And it's a very difficult subject, obviously. And I think that when you tackle subjects like that, obviously there's the ethics of filmmaking that are at play, I believe. So this is why I started this project right now, because I feel like I know it's going to take such a long time that I need my time. I need to read on the subject more. I need to know more. I need to read the testimonies, but I also need to think about how I want to talk about that subject. That is so important to me and to millions of other people whose families are descendants of people who were oppressed by the Soviet state. So that is my passion project, essentially. Yeah.
Well, I hope you do get to make it one day. I really do, because I would love to see it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And I've got to ask as well. I mean, for our audience who is wanting to break into this kind of industry, what advice would you give? And also, how difficult is it?
I'd say patience is number one. It's easy to say, but I'm a very impatient person, and all of the people who I work with, they often tell me, have some patience. It's you need to keep working on that script. That script is not there yet. It's fine that this producer said no to you. You can wait, come back with a better script, and they're going to say yes to you. So I think that you can be very original, you can be very talented, you can be very hardworking, but the ones who stay in the game for long are the ones who are going to win in the end of the day. That's what I really believe in. But also, don't be afraid to be really original and to talk about things people don't want to talk about, or be really weird and sort of I think that we're living in an era of a slight lack of originality and imagination, and not an era, but let's say like a culture, like what's happening in the film right now. I think that it's a bit sad that there is like lack of originality. Like so many films are being remade, so many remakes, so many reboots, etc. So yeah, don't be afraid to be original. Originality is very important. Go ahead and write a very strange film. That's my advice.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Marcia. And so the film is called St. Vasily, and it's currently in festivals right now. So how can people get to watch the film? I mean, will it eventually be on YouTube? Will it be on digital platforms, DVD?
So hopefully it's going to be on digital platforms. But as you said, since we are in a festival run right now, please follow us on Instagram at St. Vasily Film, and you'll find out the updates about further screenings, because we will very soon screen both in the UK and in continental Europe. So yeah, just subscribe and you'll find out.
And do you have like social media where people can follow you on, like X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram?
I'm more of an Instagram person, at Masha_EGV. So that's me. Please follow.
And my final question for you, Marsha, because I'd like to give a final word to you, is what would you like to say to our audience who is listening right now?
I'd like to say, do support filmmakers who make non-commercial independent films. Watch shorts, watch independent films. It's both to support them, but it's also to find out about very different perspectives, stories that you would never have found out about otherwise. I'm a big viewer of short films and of independent films, and I'd say that this is one of the most inspiring thing and a window into other people's experiences and lives. So yeah, go ahead and be inspired.
Marsha, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
The swinging jazz guitar of Django Reinhardt introduces Swing Time, Sheffield Live FM's weekly selection of swing, jazz and blues. The presenters, that's me, Brian,
Mike
and John,
offer a mixture from all periods of jazz. So if you have a liking for jazz,
tune into Swing Time
every Tuesday from 1 to 3 o'clock.
Remember, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Sheffield in Focus is a magazine show that's of particular interest to people with low or no vision. We have guests,
library services,
what's on at the pictures,
theatre,
gossip,
events, general knowledge quiz,
poems
and stories. Tune in Tuesdays 3 while 5 on 93.2 FM.
That's Sheffield in Focus.
The Max Chance Show is now on from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesdays. Hear eclectic music and a bit of comedy.
There's a place I must go. There's a place I must go. It's not a place I have seen.
different song. Ha ha, funny how you broke me up. You made the wine, now you drink a cup. I came running every time you cried. Thought I saw love smiling in your eyes. Ha ha, very nice to know that you ain't got no place left to go.
She's dying, everybody came to see her.